We continue our World Cafe Week on the Keamo Cruise, recorded this past February. Today it is Dar Williams and Allison Moore, recorded together in a song swap. Dar's 2010 album is called Many Great Companions, and Allison released Crows last year as well. Allison got a major boost in her career when her song A Soft Place to Fall was used in a pivotal scene in the film The Horse Whisperer. Dar started recording in 1993 with The Honesty Room. Dar has a couple of kids, including an adopted daughter born in 2009, and Allison, who is married to Steve Earle, has a newborn, her first. Today's session was recorded by Alan Smith. Well, seeing as both women had their kids on board, I thought it might be appropriate to ask if child rearing had affected their creativity in a positive way.
Yes, but not because of the kid, because of the scheduling conflicts. Because I used to, get out of bed and go, oh gosh, I have the day, and then the day would be gone. But it's like, I've got a babysitter for 3 hours, and so I've got to go walk on the beach in order to be creative, I just need a lot of space. So I would have to, go to Stop and Shop, then have some space, then pick up the thing at Stop and Shop that I forgot, and then go pick up my kid. So I had to schedule these blocks of time to really focus on being creative instead of saying, oh, I have the whole day, I'll just go spin in a cloud, and then, So it was, it really created the right amount of pressure for me to focus on what I needed to do.
And Allison, you're kind of in the first year of all this, so.
Yeah, my son is 10 months old, so I'm just now getting back into the swing of things. And he's very mama-centric. I have to do that too. I have to sort of grab it and growl, as we say in my family. And I've written, I think, 3.5 songs since he's been born.
Wow, I'm impressed. Yeah.
But that's like, I'm going, oh my God. Because it's not for me a lot. But it's okay. It's like I told my husband, haven't I worked enough? Come on.
There is, you can sort of say, it's hard to do both. Yeah, and I'll just give myself that. Yeah. And also, I have to say, you're the most beatific mother. You look so great. I just look so confused and bloated for the first year of my son's life. I was like, what happened? And I mean, it was good. The scheduling
was
good, so it got me.
It's fear you see on my face.
Features into a beautiful... Oh, the radio people can't see how... You're just glowing. I was waiting for
that
the glow.
Sweat.
It's like, where's that glow, that mama glow?
And
where's
all those, I look for
where are
it
those
too,
songs I'm supposed to write for them?
Yeah. Oh.
But, I've been writing for The Child Within for years now, so the slot is taken, maybe.
Well, I thought it was interesting looking over your guy's career that you kind of came to singer-songwriterdom in really dramatically different ways. Dar, it seems to me that you kind of knew really early on that aspect of your life. I mean, you played early, you wrote early. And Allison, you went to Nashville. Did you go to Nashville with the idea of being a writer or just being a singer? Or
I went to Nashville with the idea of doing something other than getting a job behind a desk. I knew it didn't suit me. And I am from a really musical family, and I knew that I could maybe... I didn't really think that I would be a solo artist. I was raised a harmony singer, so I thought that I might get work as a background singer, and it just happened that I got a solo record deal, and thank God I did, because it turned out I didn't get hired to be a backup singer very much.
That's a hard gig to get, yeah.
I get more work doing that now than I ever did then. But... I was lucky because I did go to college and I did, have options. A lot of artists do it because they can't do anything else. And, it kind of turns out I can't really either, but I thought I could. So I explored some other avenues, but it was kind of a roundabout thing.
I read an interesting quote you said about Nashville, because there's so many songs get written in Nashville, and yet it's not a place where... They're not looking for people who write their own songs. They have a system, right? And if you don't fit that system.
I hate to say this, but they're really not looking for that if you don't have a penis. If you're a girl, it's a little bit tougher because they got a system, you know, it works. Can't blame them.
This is all true. And Darwin, well, okay, we have a bunch of questions here.
Are you trying?
I thought, what? No. I have a bunch of questions kind of relate to this. And one of them, is, the first one would be to have each of you do a song, which was one of the first ones that you wrote that you were really proud of or that you didn't think sucked or that you thought was really good. And I'm wondering, you know, an early one of yours, Dar, when would that have been? Around Honesty Room or before that? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, I was just trying to drill the lyrics because I was trying to remember. Somebody actually said she wanted to hear this song. I wrote a song for a play that I was part of in college, and the play, and it was a folk song. It says, you know, we've got to all get together, and then the chorus was, if we could all have sex together, and you know, make the world a big bouncing bed, and blah, 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 you know, and actually, what was nice is that there were these anti-apartheid marches, and they made this little shanty town, and one night in the rain, they all sang that song together, really, in a very serious way. But I think of myself as someone who wrote parodies, and then I wrote, I wanted to sing in an Irish bar, and I thought you had to sing Irish music, even though there were Bob Marley posters everywhere, and so I wrote some authentic old Irish songs for it, and it was an interesting way to sort of get my chops, and then I finally wrote a very serious song about getting my heart broken, and I sang it around a kitchen table for some people, and I said, this is sad, but it's real. And they said, and we prefer that one. So that was the first step of my really actually writing stuff. And so I was trying to figure out this one. There's this kind of way that I had a boyfriend who, just before we broke up, he gave me this great advice. He said, your songs go all over the place. That's okay. But if you make it come down to, you know, one central thing. It kind of, it's got to come back to something, or else people will just get seasick, as it were. And so this one was where I was allowing myself to kind of explore all over the place and not come back to a central theme so quickly. It wasn't straightforward. I don't remember how the chords go, so, and I only remember one verse, but I'll sing it. It goes, the blue, it's called Mark Rothko's song. And it was inspired by a painting that was called Untitled Something at the Fogg Museum in Cambridge. And it went, the blue speaks so full, it's like the beauty one can barely stand, or too much things dropped in your hand. And there's a green, like the peace in your heart sometimes, painted underneath the sheets of ashy snow. And there's a blue like where the urban angels go, very bright. Now the Calder Mobile tips a biomorphic sphere. Then it swings its dangling pieces round to other paintings here. So, anyways, and then it sort of goes on. Basically, you know, I would get little pieces of information about Mark Rothko, but, you know, not too much, not volumes and volumes, just enough to excite the imagination and to kind of create, you know, the world walking away from the painting the way, you know, depressed people feel like the world is walking away from them because he ultimately committed suicide, and really realizing how often we do walk away like that. So that was one of the first ones that made people say, I didn't quite get it, but I like that kind of writing, which gave me a permission to basically have my career.
And Allison, what about you?
The first song I wrote that I thought didn't suck.
That's right.
A song called Alabama Song, actually.
Oh.
It's actually the title of my first record. Are you going to Alabama, where the trees grow tall and green? I'd like to see the Gulf of Mexico. If you're going, won't you take me? Are you going? to Alabama, where the skies shine bright and blue. I'd like to see the old Tom Bigby. If you're going, I wanna go with you. Are you going to Alabama, where the folks say how do you do? I'd like to see those big old cotton fields. If you're going, I'm going too.
Allison Moore, Allison and Dar Williams are on the show today, and we're talking about some of the early songs they'd written, and then I was kind of wanting maybe get an idea about the arc of how you feel about what happened with your writing, and maybe get something new from each of you. And Dar, you should be in a position to do this, because you just put out that album where you really kind of looked back on everything. What was that experience like, actually, to look back over all your albums and all the songs?
This was sort of a best of, and then I re-recorded some of them, and I was really nervous. I was recording it with Gary Loris of the Jayhawks, and he's a big crossword puzzle addict. So I would just sit in the sound booth, and we would kind of talk crossword puzzles, because I just thought, I can't do the first definitive version of this since I recorded this 17 years ago. I mean, it was definitely an interesting... abacus. I mean, I was like, have I really been doing it that long? And what I realized after I'd recorded all the songs was that it was like I was going to give the album a very existential name, like, Back from the Ocean, Windblown Hair Walking Alone in a Cloud, blah, blah, title. And everyone was like, that's terrible. And finally, there's a line from one of my songs, talks about many great companions. Through the peaks and twisted canyons, I made many great companions. And I said, what about many great companions? And everybody looked at me and said, that's correct. And I realized it's been profoundly social. And not just fellow musicians, but, the evolution of friendships that I've got to keep up with, that I've been able to keep because I travel and I see these people over many years. Mm. And then the audiences who tell me their stories. And I now think of their stories as I perform. And they're sometimes the launching pad of new songs. So that was an incredible revelation. I always think of my songs as such a solitary pursuit. But it is a profoundly human terrain that has defined what I do. And I realize now that I need to always have some of that coming in for inspiration.
Can something an audience member says to you about a song make you rethink what that song's about? Or make you think of it differently?
Here and there. Here and there. Usually it's just a different facet to something. When somebody, like I had the song as cool as I am, where people say, these women said that they made it their rugby anthem. You know, and so I'll never quite not think of that somewhere when I'm singing the song. And you know, just to add more faces and places to these stories.
So you want to do something that's relatively new since then, or?
Yeah, there's only one, so there we go.
In my life on earth, the things I have invented have invented me. I found my industry. I am not alone. I've fashioned friends from precious scraps. They hold the light, they bend to serve me, joking that they don't deserve me. After days of craft and care, I lift a sword and slice the air. Such has been my time upon this earth, this earth. When my wife returns, more beautiful than when she left the night before, I show her things I made. Filigree of furs, diamond snowflakes, tears of gold. She murmurs praise, a small caress. I smile to see her happiness. Silver webs with sanded grain that catch and hold real drops of rain. Such has been my toil upon this earth, this earth. When I'm feeling vexed, I go upstairs and bury something deep. Then step back and from a distance push a button, watch the earth explode. This earth. I love this land of mortal men who wake to know the fire again. The things we make, the things we feel, molten bling and molten steel. All of these inventions of the earth, this earth.
Thank you.
Dar Williams with her new song called This Earth.